Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Here we are again, another Tuesday, to talk about injustices in the United States of America. I'm going to be talking about a lot of the things that are going on in the prison system, as always, because we have a serious problem in this country of division. And as I said, this racism in the country has affected a lot of people, both white and black and brown and beige and red, where it doesn't really have to. We have so much hatred in this country, so much division, and the majority of it all comes from the pigmentation of someone's skin. You have seen people who have had some kind of illnesses where they have the white spots on their face and they're brown or black. You know, you've had whites that have had some kind of sickness or disease that has put brown spots on their faces, and even old age causes the pigmentation to change. God didn't create just a white world. Can you imagine what everything would look like if everything was white? Can you imagine what kind of world we'd live in? You wouldn't even be able to see one another because everything was white. We have a creator that created a diversity in the whole wide world, because when you bring all different colors together like a rainbow, you have beauty. That's the kind of creator we have. And I don't care what religion, every religion will tell you. Anyone that is really of God will tell you. All beauties, all colors coming together creates beauty. The same thing, diversity. The same thing is what we're finding in the prisons. But it's not it's a diversity of color, but it's not a diversity. It's not the same in each situation. Inclusion. Colors bring inclusion to normal people, But when we have racism in America, or even around the world, but it's mainly in America, we got sick people, because anybody that can have hatred over a color, C-O-L-O-R, anyone that can have hatred over a color has to be pretty damn sick. And we have some sick, sick people in this country, men and women. And unfortunately, the innocent babies that are brought into this world, there's many of these innocent babies, unfortunately, that are polluted by the parents that raised them and by their parents' peers who have the same kind of hatred over racism. These innocent children that are born innocent and their minds, their hearts, and everything else is polluted because they have sick parents teaching hatred because of color, which is what God created. I don't know if any of them go to church, or if they ever did go to church, or if they ever went to a mosque or a synagogue. I don't know. I don't know if they celebrate on a Saturday as the Seventh-day Adventist or the Muslims. I don't know. And the thing is, I don't really care, because I'm the type of person, I don't judge people by their color. I don't judge people by their race. I don't judge them by their gender. I don't judge them by their social status. I don't judge them because my friends don't like somebody. I'm not going to side with my friends or my peers or my family over somebody they have a problem with, because it has nothing to do with me. Listen to me, lawyers out there. Listen to me, advocacy groups, civil rights organizations, Massachusetts ACLU, PLS. I don't judge people based on what their problem is or my friends or my family's problem is with them. I judge people based on how they are with me. We have a God that's real. He is alive. And I know for a fact, let me tell you, I've been visited myself a few times by strange things. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is a God and he is alive. And I'll tell you, he knows truth. He sees all things. So you out there, corrupt, polluted, or whatever, and I'm not talking to the entire audience, because the entire audience is not at fault. We have people in this country, and I don't care what color, who are down with every race. And then we have people who are phonies, two-sided. 1 minute they're friends with one race, the next minute they're friends with the other. 1 minute they're siding with this race, the next minute they're siding with another. 1 minute they're hating this person, the next minute they're loving this person. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people right here in this state of Massachusetts brown-nosing. There's a lot of people right here in Massachusetts, and I'm sure in other states, who are so insecure that they will hate somebody they don't even know. Or they will hate somebody that everyone else seems to get along with, but they don't like that person because their friends or their family have a problem with that person or those people. We have a high suicide rate in this country, a high suicide rate of prisoners that can't take it anymore. And this is what the prison officials count on. This is what many people out there who are sick-minded count on. They count on it not because they know the person, they don't like the person. They count on it because their friends or their family don't like the person. But do you ever question your friends or your family to find out why they don't like the person? Is it because they caused the person to fall? Is it because they try to use the person, lie to and deceive the person? Is it because their friends did it or their family members did it? And then these people that will, they'll feed off of everyone's sympathy when people side with them, and they know all along that they're wrong, but they got their friends and their family siding with them. So all of a sudden, they're going to feed off of that, and they're going to make it much worse than it is. Much worse. So I want to talk about this because I want people to know there are sick people out there who are not only so sick themselves that they have a hatred for someone because of their race or because of their culture or because of their name or because of, and going back to name, I got to talk to the people don't understand. People that think they know it all, let me tell you about names. Names can be deceiving. Somebody can have a Hispanic name and they can be totally opposite. They could be Haitian. They could be Cape Verdean. They could be white. They could be Indian. Because some people don't realize there's a lot of people that have been, first of all, adopted. You have a lot of children that have been adopted by people that have feelings, that actually care for them. But people have names assigned to them. A lot of people, okay, during slavery time, a lot of people ended up with Irish names or Scottish names. You know, like Kelly is spelled one way, K-E-L-L-E-Y, another way, K-E-L-L-Y. That's the difference between Scottish and Irish. You got McDonald's, M-A-C. You got M-C, capital D. You got Mulvaney's. You got, you know, these are all names that I was watching. I think it was one of the song shows, American Idol or one of those shows. One day, and they called the name, and I was shocked because the name didn't match the face. The name didn't, it really didn't match the face. So I have a feeling that people in society need an education in that area too. And the reason I say that is because so many people receive help if they're of a certain race. But if they're of a different race, they don't get that help because I had a friend years ago. She passed away, but she was a senator with the silver-haired legislature. And she came from this town where a crime happened years ago. And actually, she told me about the family, the victim's family. And they were kind of like shady characters. But somebody got involved with a member of that family, and they've been going through all this ever since. But going back, this woman told me the Catholic Church, which I was shocked because I never knew this. But the Catholic Church actually has a group that helps Irish prisoners. So for you Irish out there, if you have family members, tell them to check with the Pope or the Vatican or something. Because I never knew that. I was born and raised a Catholic. And when I was in my late 20s, I decided to venture out because I wasn't really learning anything as a Catholic. I mean, we never really read our Bible or opened our Bible. We listened to a few Gospels and that was it. So I went out and ventured out into other religions because I will not talk about other religions unless I know for a fact because I've been part of it. So I've been involved with the Baptists and the Methodists. I've been involved with the Seventh-day Adventists. I've even been in the mosque a few times. I went into a synagogue one time. You know, I have been a Pentecostal. I've been with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the thing that bothers me the most is that all of these religions, all of them, they have some good to them if people would just get involved and try to figure it out. Because I'm sorry, our rabbis, our imams, our pastors, our priests, our reverends, all of them should be coming together and trying to get all the pieces of the puzzle so that we can finally find an ending to all of this. But they're so busy downing each other, which is not of God to begin with. So I get really disgusted with a lot of these religious leaders because they're just as bad as the government when you come right down to it. But one of the things I have to say is that we need to know what God's intentions were in the beginning, what they are now, and what they will be in the upcoming years, because we are at those final days. These people in prison don't need to be in prison serving life and life without parole. They don't need to be on death row. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if you're familiar with that actor, Mark Wahlberg. He's an actor. He's originally from Boston, from Massachusetts. But I was watching him on the news, on the TV the other day. There's a movie coming out. He's going to be playing the part of a hardcore criminal, to tell you the truth. He's going to be playing the part of a bad person, turned good, and finally became a priest. And what he said, when they were asking him what brought him to this, he said he believes that all people make mistakes and people can change. He's talking about people in prison. People can change. We look at the prison system. We see people in prison who have been put in prison on wrongful convictions. They did not do anything, probably being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We look at people who are first-time offenders who made one mistake in their life. We look at people who were victims before becoming offenders. And we have so many in the media that are so sympathetic to these kids and all of these tragedies that are happening out in the community. Yet, they don't say anything about these people in prison, what they went through. Nothing about why they fell, why they failed, why they're incarcerated. Nothing about why they're serving. Why should they be serving a life without parole or a life sentence? Why should they be on death row? And how many, because of the, including the media, how many have been put to death only to find out months or years later that they were innocent all along? We have a one-sided media outlet throughout this world, throughout this country, one-sided, mostly young people who are all about themselves and their peers. If we had some mature-minded people running the United States of America, perhaps we would see more inclusion rather than division. Perhaps we would see less prison in other countries, less prisons. In this country, mass incarceration. But maybe if we had some solid-minded, strong-minded, self-minded, motivated, mature people out there leading the communities in news, in government, perhaps we would see some positive things happening. Mass incarceration, 2.3 million. 2.3 million people in prison. You do statistics. You can go on the internet. You can type in something like statistics on incarceration worldwide. The only thing America seems to be doing is leading the country into disaster, leading the country into mass incarceration, leading the country into failure. But because at one time the United States was respected worldwide, and I'm going to tell you why I believe the United States was respected, because the United States is called United. In other countries, I'm sure, respected this country for being united, for having representatives in this country representing each and every country in the whole wide world. We should be proud of the fact that we are called the United States of America. Yet, problems throughout the country resulting in incarceration are the same. But every single state in this country, in their incarceration, in their penal system, operates differently, as though we are not the United States of America, but we are America KKK. We really need to look at what made up the United States of America. And if you notice, people are getting away from the United States of America now and focusing more on America. Why? Just like in the Bible, the word Jehovah has been in the Bible throughout the thousands of years in old Bibles. I had one time, someone had given me, an older person, and unfortunately I gave it away to someone who was traveling, and I wish I had kept it. The Bible was from the 1700s. But the Bible contained the word Jehovah throughout the Bible. You go in the Bible now and you see Jehovah maybe in Psalms 83:18, or somewhere in Isaiah, I've seen it. So you see the word Jehovah here and there. But they took that word out, and I'll tell you why. Because the word Jehovah is the Most High. The Most High. You know, it's like Yeshua. It's like Allah. I'll tell you another thing. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, I believe it is, it says, do not call anyone father. Do not call anyone pastor or reverend. There's only one, and that is God himself. I'll listen to these religious stations, and I'll hear these people saying, they will be talking about, God told me, the Lord told me, the Lord said to me. How does the Lord say to them? The Lord don't talk to them, but I will tell you, the Lord does speak through Bible scriptures. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16, it says, all scripture is inspired of God and is beneficial for teaching, reproving, setting things straight, and disciplining. That's what the Bible is all about. And when I was a Catholic, I never knew all of this because I never got involved with the Bible. We didn't have to because the priest was. But let me tell you, I have a brother that was a priest. He went into the seminary 4 years. I had a cousin from Worcester, Massachusetts, that was a priest for many years, ultimately dropped out after many, many years and married a nun from Canada. But I'll tell you, when I hear people say the Lord, think of how many people are called Lord. In some countries, they call their president Lord. In some places, their prime minister, they call him Lord. In some places, in political arenas, they call him Lord. Lord means nothing when it comes to God. God has many names, but they all have meaning. Just like the word Jesus, there's many Jesuses. But when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was informed by the angel that she was going to have the child who was going to be the ransom sacrifice, he called him Emmanuel, meaning with God. He is with God. Somewhere along the line, the name Jesus came about. So now, somewhere along the line, the name Jesus Christ came about. Like Jesus is his first name, Christ is his last name. That's not true. So whenever I speak, whenever I communicate with the Christ Jesus. I always say the Christ Jesus because Jesus is the Christ. And some, as far as the Jews go, the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ that is to come back, is to return, to destroy Satan, the one who corrupted the perfect paradise that God initially created. And that's in Genesis 2, when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. And God told Satan he was going to put a seed between the woman and the person or the being that's going to destroy Satan. And he told Satan he's going to put a seed between him. And one was going to bruise the heel and one was going to bruise the head. Jesus was bruised in the heel, of course, Satan's going to be bruised in the head when Jesus, when the Christ comes back. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, it will say, Satan was an angel of God who turned evil. He and his followers were thrown out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. And after he was thrown out of heaven, it was said by the Creator, woe to the earth, for Satan has been thrown down to the earth and knows he has but a short time. So all these things that are happening now, even though it's been years and years and years, it's finally coming to pass. And as it says in the Bible, one day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, to God, and 1,000 years is like a day. Well, Jesus was put on that stake or that cross almost 2,500 years ago. But to God, it would be 2.5 days. And what did it say in Matthew, the book of Matthew, St. Matthew to the Catholics? It says, God says that if he doesn't bring this to a closure soon, none of his elect will be saved. But because he wants many of us to be saved, and I'm hoping I'm among the ones to be saved, and I hope my loved one is, unless he brings it closer and quickly, none of his elect will be saved. Those in prison, believe it or not, to you, to many of you who are all for sentencing people who have fallen, a lot of them lambs amongst the wolves, God's sons and daughters, many of you who are for the death penalty, many of you who are for life and life without parole, you might be very surprised when this finally does come to a closure. Because God has people behind those prison walls, many people. Satan does too. But God has a majority of people. He's been putting all of you, everybody, to a test to see if you're going to be a part of helping or a part of destroying completely people you do not know. These people in the prison have suffered so much because they have overseers who are satanic. And I'm going to say the same thing with the overseers. Not all are bad, but there are a lot of overseers behind those prison walls who became police officers, who became correctional officers, who became prison officials, simply for the fact that if they have a title or a uniform, they know they can get away with murder. They can get away with anything. There are people being put into solitary confinement on restrictive housing units that have done nothing wrong. Yet they've been in these positions for years, and some of them with nothing, some of them with very, very little. And we have politicians, our political leaders out there that know this, and they do nothing. And that's why I say they, too, are going to be held responsible when that time comes. Many of these people suffering unnecessarily because we have a population in this world who are for Satan. And believe it or not, that population is not the evil one out there doing things that people judge him on. A lot of these people are people in the communities that people look up to that think that these people are honest. They actually think that these people are criminal-like, are criminals, hardcore criminals behind those prison walls. Do you know some prisoners choose to be in maximum secure prisons, supermax prisons? They choose to be there. Unfortunately, they feel the only way to do it is to get written up with disciplinary reports just to stay in these supermax. You know why? Because many of them want to keep that single cell status. If you notice, there's so many people who are double celled in prisons, even some in dormitories. These people are the ones of many who commit suicide because they can't take it. Then there are some that want to be double cells. They like the companionship. They like the talk. But if you ever hear of prisoners talking about starting riots because they would refuse to showers, groups that will refuse showers. But then they say when people are stuck in cells together, not everybody's clean about themselves. There's so much stink in there. Now, would you want yourself or your loved one who may not be incarcerated, would you want them to be stuck in cells with other prisoners that smelled nasty? But that's a lot of them. The only way they can prevent it is to be kept in an environment where they don't have to be forced to be double celled. And sometimes, even with solitary confinement, I've heard people say their loved one wanted to be in solitary confinement so that they could have that single cell status, so that they didn't have to be amongst some of these other prisoners. I don't understand why in the United States of America we have the mentality that we have of people who are so cold-hearted, so hateful, so racist, that they cause people to fall. And the very people they're causing to fall, many of which are God's people, are Allah's people, are Yeshua's people. And where are all these pastors and priests that are all over the television, that are in these churches talking? Where are they? They know there's people incarcerated who have nobody going to see them to spread the word. They know that these people in prison and solitary confinement and restrictive housing, they know there's nobody getting the word. So what are they doing? You know how just some of these rabbis, these Pharisees used to be seen in public? They wanted to be seen so that they could get praises, they could get all the glory that God should be getting. Excuse me. But they're not going to the one place that God wants them to be. They're not going to that one place where so many people in the communities have that kind of hatred for them. They're not talking to the people about these prisoners who should be forgiven. They're not talking about all these godly things that are going to make God look good, because this is what God created. These are his people. He has children all over the world. He created everything. And he wants these children taken care of. And he's looking to all these people in uniforms and titles to take care of these children, to help them, to make them well again. What did Jesus tell these Pharisees, these people that thought they were so great when he came into this world? He said, I didn't come. I came to save the sinners. I didn't come to save those who are supposed to be well. So he's telling the pastors, he's telling the Pharisees, he's telling all these people that want such recognition because they have a uniform or they have a habit on or they're supposed to be godly. He's telling them what he came into this world for. But these people are completely ignoring him. They're ignoring the Most High. They're ignoring the Christ Jesus because they think they know it all. And who did they learn from? They didn't learn from God. They learned from man. Anybody can go to a school of theology. They can be taught by another man. And that's what they're doing. They're being taught by another man. And look at that. What's his name on TV? Haggy? The big mouth that talks about anybody that's in prison is a criminal, all this stuff. He's a criminal himself. If I hear a rabbi, if I hear an imam, if I hear a pastor, priest, a reverend, whatever, talking against a human being or human beings, then they are of Satan. God's people are going to be helping these people. They're not going to be talking against them. They're going to be talking about how Jesus was abused by prison officials and guards. They're going to be talking about how Jesus' blood was shed by the Roman soldiers, who in this day and age would be called correctional officers or guards. He's going to be talking about the humiliation he had to go through, the shame he had to go through, how they spit on him, how they abused him, how they deprived him, how they provoked him, how they harassed him, how they tortured and tormented him. Well, let me tell you something. It still goes on today, people. And a lot of you listen. A lot of you talk. You don't do anything. You complain, but you don't do anything. Even you parents, you friends, you advocates of the incarcerated who are so busy trying to look good yourself as it was in the days of the Christ, trying to look good for yourselves, trying to stick with your peers, for that insecure purpose that you have. Those of you who are out for the money and not for the resolutions, I don't have use for you either. We have people incarcerated begging for help, yet we have people out there claiming to help those whose human rights and civil rights are violated, denying, depriving, yet accepting others. Pick and choose. That's the country we live in. This is what I want to say about the United States of America. They can call it America. They can call it America KKK. They can call it the United States. They can call it anything they want. But I call it God's creation. And like any parent, God can get discouraged and disgusted and upset with some of his children who are being disobedient. And when I say disobedient, I'm not talking about just the prisoners. I'm talking about the people in the communities who through Bible scriptures were told to love one another as you want to be loved, who were told to help those that needed help, who were told not to judge, who were told to pray for those who needed prayer, those who were being afflicted, persecuted. And there was an apostle that was like a lot of you, who hated people they did not know. He did not know. He was out to persecute them. He was out to persecute all the Christians. His name was Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. God struck him. God had to strike him down and blind him for him to see what his purpose was. He got his eyesight back. And not only did he get his eyesight back, but he finally woke up. And he realized that his passion should not have been for killing Christians, but for serving God, for bringing sinners to God, for helping those who were stumbled. And of all the 12 disciples of the Christ Jesus, Paul became the best because he wanted to prove to everyone that he was sincere in serving his Creator, which is our Father. He wanted to show everybody that he could be trusted. He wanted to serve his brothers and sisters. And Paul never married. People wondered if he ever was married and got a divorce or whatever. He never married. I think his whole purpose was in serving God and helping the brothers and sisters. And what happened because he was the good one? He was serving his brothers and sisters and he was serving God. He ended up in prison many occasions, but he ended up in prison. He was beaten. He went through everything that Christ went through, trying to serve his master that taught him all the things that he needed to know about serving our Creator, the Most High, Jehovah God. Even the Apostle Peter, who denied Jesus at first, when he was martyred, they wanted to hang him on a cross. And he told them he did not feel he was worthy to be hung on the cross as the Christ Jesus was. So they hung him on a cross upside down. These are people who had no feeling for others in the beginning, and they were taught and they learned and they served in the best way they could. You know, I often think about Judas, who ended up killing himself, hanging himself after he turned the Christ in to the Romans to be crucified. Judas hung himself. I believe Judas thought by doing that, he was not only going to make some money, but he was going to show them, the Pharisees and the Romans and the guards and the Caesar and all of them. I think he thought that Jesus was going to save himself and that Judas would be benefiting in many ways. But it didn't happen that way because Jesus didn't come into this world to save himself. He came into the world to give himself so that we may have hope for salvation. But many of you who think you're going to be saved, including a lot of you priests and pastors and rabbis and imams and all of you that think you're going to be saved because you're behind the cloth does not mean anything. You can be behind the cloth and be of Satan. And if you're not looking at these people that are behind those prison walls that are desperately in need of salvation, desperately in need of help, mentally, psychologically, medically, spiritually, you're not serving God. And then you wonder why this country and around the world is in such disaster, because it's boiling up. It's festering up. And as God told the Israelites years ago in the Old Testament, finally, when he felt that they had suffered enough, he said, enough. But to this day, they continue to sin against the Most High. They continue to conspire with others. They continue to pollute. They continue to do all these things throughout the years that they did that really discouraged and disappointed our Creator, who was their Creator. And because of their inconsistency in serving the Father, the Most High, he decided that the Israelites would no longer be his people alone, but that all would be his people. And that was the purpose of the Christ Jesus. And many who judge the Muslims, they better think again too, because when Hagar and Ishmael were sent out of the village with Abraham and Sarah and all of them, Hagar was told too that her son Ishmael would also be a great nation. Ishmael is of the Muslim Islam, just like Esau, when his brother Jacob, the Israelite, eventual Israelite, stole his blessing from his father. So what are we going to do? Tell me, what are we going to do about this entire situation? Are we going to continuously sit back, watch all this injustice going on around us, see all these prisoners abused, deprived, provoked, harassed, tormented, tortured, whatever? Are we going to watch it and do nothing? I'm trying to do what I can. I'm trying to do what I can. And I'm not doing it because I'm saying, well, you know, God's going to see me. And I'm doing it because God taught us through Bible scriptures what we need to do. He never says anywhere in Bible scriptures, and never had his prophets or anyone say in Bible scriptures, destroy them. Destroy these people behind those prison walls. No matter what they did, destroy them. Give them the death penalty. Give them, you know, in the Old Testament, I think it was either in Exodus or Leviticus, when it said an eye for an eye. That was something that was meant for the Israelites, for the Jewish people, an eye for an eye, which I think they still believe. But all that changed. All that changed when God used Moses in such a big way after Moses killed an Egyptian. Do the Jewish people look at that? Do they look at God forgiving Moses, a murderer, and using him in such a big way? And what about King David, one of God's chosen? What did he do? While his loyal soldier was on the battlefield, he's checking out his wife, the soldier's wife. He's having intercourse with her, and he causes her to get pregnant. And because he didn't want to fess up to responsibility, he had the loyal soldier come to him, and he had him feeding him good food, giving him drinks, and trying to send him home to his wife so that pregnancy could be assumed by the woman's husband that it was his. But the man was so loyal to King David, he wouldn't go to his wife. He felt guilty because his people that were at war were on the battlefield. So he told King David, no, he couldn't do that. He needed to get back to the battlefield, to the other soldiers. So King David was put on a spot. Now he didn't know what to do. Everyone was going to find out that baby, that impregnation was by him, King David. So he had his loyal soldier killed. another murderer. But after so much remorse, and most of the Psalms that were written by King David. After so much remorse, God forgave him. But when it first happened, God sent one of his prophets to King David. And that prophet was talking to King David about a man who had everything. He had everything given to him on a silver platter. And yet there was another man that had nothing but one possession, one prized possession. And that rich man, that wealthy man, took that too. Well, King David did not know he was talking about him. And King David was furious with this man. He said, bring that man to me so I can punish him. Bring that man to me so I can take care of him. And that prophet turned around and said to King David, Master, that man is you. So it goes to show you people can say one thing and do something else. We have religious leaders that say one thing and do something else. We have priests and pastors. We have people out there that are committing crimes. First of all, I don't believe priests should be denied the privilege of being, or the opportunity of being married, because it says nowhere in the Bible that priests should not marry. But because priests are not to marry, how many crimes have been committed by priests against children? People need to look at everything that's happening in this world right now. And I'm talking about this because this has been on my heart for years. I've been a victim. I've been a victim of the injustices. I've been a victim of losing a loved one that was near perfect because of someone stumbling them. And the people that stumbled continuously for 20-something years continuously try to destroy that young man rather than fessing up to the fact that they not only raised their children, their innocent-born children, to become deceivers and corrupt, to become liars and users. They not only don't regret it, but they continuously try to harm people that they have affected in a negative way, resulting in that person or those people being incarcerated. So when we think about it right now, a lot of you who don't read the Bible, it says in the Bible, if we can tell when there's going to be a storm, we should be able to tell the signs of the time. It tells of all the things that are going to happen. And it says it's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I don't know if any of you know about Sodom and Gomorrah, but that place was destroyed, totally destroyed. Hail, fire, wind, everything. It was such a powerful destruction that the three that survived was Abraham's nephew, Lot, and his two daughters. And the wife, who was also told to go with them, was also told not to look back once they leave. And the angels of God took them out of that place. And once they got out, that place was totally destroyed. But Lot's wife, being human and curious, had to turn around to see her place that she loved destroyed. And she froze right there in that pillar of salt as she was. These are the things that we have to look forward to. We're going to all go through it. We have to look forward to something that's much, much worse than Sodom and Gomorrah was. We have to look because it says it's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So what are we going to be looking for? We're going to be looking for hail. And now sometimes you hear them talking on the news about the hail in some places being the size of golf balls. We have to look forward to fires. Look at California, one after another. Some of those fires in California have been devastating throughout the whole state. But we also have to look at the global warming. We have a government that insists on going up to space, messing with God's territory, because space is the heavens, and the heavens belongs to God. But we have all these countries sending missiles up there, ships. We have all this pollution going on, oil spillages in the ocean. We have chemical warfares now. In the book of Genesis, if you look in the book of Genesis, when it talks about the flood, again, I'm going to bring this up because this is very important. The people were laughing at Noah when he was building this ark because he was telling them there was going to be a great flood, total destruction of the earth because God was not satisfied with the people he created. So much ignorance was going on back then. But there was no rain. There was no rain back then. Everything was coming up from the ground, from the earth. It was the mist that was keeping everything green beautifully. But people laughed at Noah because they did not believe that there was going to be anything coming from the heavens that was going to destroy them. So they continued to do their thing. They continued to do all the evil things that go on today in this world. And those evil things are not only the evil that has caused many to be incarcerated, but it's caused many to be caused to be incarcerated, and it has caused many who are incarcerated to commit suicide or to be killed by either other evil spirits of the wicked one, Satan, or his evil officials, the officials, prison officials. But these are the things that happened. The earth was completely destroyed by flood. So much water that nobody could be saved except those that were in that ark. And God told Noah exactly who to allow in that ark. And anybody that had listened to Noah back then when he was trying to talk to them to change their ways, to follow the words of the Most High, and they left. He couldn't even talk any of them into changing their ways, because I'm sure if they had, they would have been allowed in that ark as well. But they chose to make fun of them. They chose to laugh, humiliate, shame. The same thing they did with Jesus, the same thing they're doing with a lot of people incarcerated, making them feel as bad as they can, because this is what we live in, a world of hate, a world of prejudice, a world of ignorance, a world of corruption, a world of pride and boastfulness. But anyway, when that rain started and God himself closed the door to that ark, and that rain started coming down, and then everybody realized it was really going to happen. It's happening. We didn't think this would happen. So all of a sudden now it's happening, and they're banging on that door for somebody to let them in. It was too late. And I'm going to tell everybody now, for all of you who have such hatred in you, it's going to happen. And you can't change your mind at the very last second. You cannot say, God, forgive me, because God has given you all these years. He has given you all this time to show some compassion. And when it says love thy neighbor, it doesn't mean the person next door to you. It doesn't mean the person down the street. It means the person you do not know. The person you know is suffering unnecessarily. The person you know that may have been stumbled. And the only way you're going to know if they've been stumbled is to look at both sides of every story. Because there are two and sometimes three sides to a story. When people think, because this person comes from a good background and is wealthy, that they're the ones that didn't cause the problem. It's the ones that have all that wealth. It's the ones that have all that prestige that think that they can get away with anything. And they will put harm on a person of a lower status. Somebody struggling to be the best they can. Somebody with no monies. Someone with no father, earthly father. Someone with no siblings. Someone with nothing. But the rich man, as it was told to King David, it still exists in this world today. People side with the one that has the most money, has the most power, the most prestige. And anybody fortunate enough to get a position in a high place in this world should know that God did it, not them, but God did it to test them to see if they're going to do something positive with the power that God has given them. And that power is not to look good to your friends. It's not given to you to think that you can do anything you want. It's given to you as God intended it to be neutral in all circumstances, to be helpful in every circumstance. Instead of people trying to talk to those who have lost loved ones through crime, instead of you trying to comfort them, console them, and give them some godly wisdom, words, you all of a sudden will get them or will get her. We'll take care of them. Don't worry about it. We're with you all. That's the kind of society we live in. Siding with the multitude to do evil. And that's also in the book of Exodus 23:1-3. Do not side with the multitude to do evil against someone who is alone. Don't make up lies about them. Don't go into court and make them look like something that when you don't know anything. There was a girl who was using her boyfriend, really using him, abusing him, lying to him, deceiving him, sleeping with somebody else while she was sleeping with him. Although she ended up marrying the other person, and the other person in his crew, his culture, turned against this individual who did nothing to them, but was used by this girl. In court, at the trial, the girl said, "He called me an F&B when I told him about my new boyfriend." But what she didn't tell the courts was that that's why they had broken up almost a year before, because of that new boyfriend. So it had nothing to do with the new boyfriend. She just wanted to put that out there to make the young man look bad. Well, this was a young man that never cursed, never did anything wrong in that area, but she had a foul mouth on her. That's why I say sometimes people need to look at two sides or maybe three sides to every story, because what we see sometimes is not always what's happening. And what we hear, we know from fact, all of you know, there are people out there that lie through their teeth. And don't look at the person because they have money or wealth or power that they're not lying, because those are the ones that will lie quickest. But what I want to say is getting to the end of what I wanted to say about the Christ Jesus coming into this world. If he came into this world today, dressed like he was during the days he was preaching, many of you would probably turn against him. And if he was, and he was, I'll tell you right now, people don't realize it, but he was of color because he was from the Middle East. The whole world came from Africa and the Middle East. It was all one continent before the flood, before the continent got divided. And since then, continents have been divided. We have all over the world now. But if Jesus came into this world today, dressed as he was back then, without the blue eyes and the golden blondish golden hair, which is man created, how many of you would be there to help him if somehow they put him in prison then, as they did back in the days? How many of you would help him? Or how many of you would go about your business talking about how bad prisoners are when the Christ Jesus is in the same prison with a lot of these people who are incarcerated? How many of you would be there to help him as he's beaten by the prison guards? Look at when he was in prison back then, when he was beaten, when he was abused, deprived, provoked, harassed, when he was going through everything he was going through, the person in charge is saying to the crowd, "Who do you want released? This man, the Christ Jesus, or Barabbas?" They were choosing Barabbas over the Christ Jesus. They were choosing the bad over the good. And now we have those in the prisons, the good with the bad, and who are you choosing? Kill them all. Keep them all in prison for the rest of their lives. You don't know if Christ is amongst any one of them. And I'm going to tell you something. It says Christ is going to come down in the clouds. But then again, he may be amongst the prisoners in these prisons all over the world. He could be in any one of them, waiting for the time that our Father tells him it's time, waiting for the time that our Father says enough is enough. And the Christ Jesus will rise from the prison into those clouds. Think about it. You are getting an opportunity from the Most High to do something positive for the incarcerated individuals around this country. We don't need mass incarceration. We need forgiveness. We have people who have been in prison for years trying so hard to do something positive while incarcerated, trying so hard to take educational courses, to get prison jobs like everybody else, all the other prisoners, but yet they've been targeted and prevented all these years. So when the time comes for them to have an opportunity to go up for parole or to be heard, everyone sees nothing done since the prisoner has been incarcerated. What are they going to do? They're going to judge that prisoner. They're going to judge that prisoner. Now, we have less than 2 minutes, so do you want to take your name, please?
Yeah, Leona, this is Joe. Sorry, I'm calling in at the late hour. I just saw the show now, but I wanted to call in because solitary confinement. From what I understand, solitary confinement is about the worst punishment you can give to a prisoner. They would rather extend their sentences by around maybe 6 months instead of spending 1 month in the hole. So I wanted to know just how horrible is solitary confinement, but I called in too late. Maybe, will you have another show on this?
Yes, and you know, Joe, tomorrow I have Marion Jacobs coming in from Netherlands to be on the show, the psychosocial therapist, and she talks a lot about that. Can you come on the show tomorrow, please?
I'll sure try. It all depends, but I'll sure try if I can.
It's going to be from 1 to 2. And I would love to have you on the show because I'll tell you, you've been a strong supporter. You've been a blessing to the show as well. And I thank you for calling in. I wish more people would call in. But one of the things is something needs to be done because we're getting to a point now where I believe time is running out. I really strongly believe that. And just as Job had to go through a lot too. But we have about a minute left, and again, I'd love to have you come on tomorrow if you can. And anytime you are available, I'd love to have you on as a guest, 100%.
Well, that would be nice, except I've never been incarcerated, but I have been involved in two very minor areas of corruption, which I can't prove. But
yeah.
You know corruption when you're involved in it. So I'd like to, I would like to be there tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't know why you'd want me as a guest unless I was. What kind of opinion or expertise or observations do you think I could contribute as a guest?
Just what you're doing now, because people need to know that what these things, how these things affect others. And, we've all stumbled in some way or another. And it's the people that haven't been incarcerated that have taken the initiative to try to find a way to resolve these issues. That's all I'm asking. And when you come on, you are familiar with some of these issues, not that you're incarcerated, but you're taking the initiative to learn more about it so that you can help with the resolutions.
It does make sense to me. I mean, look, if you put people in a cage for an extended period of time, when they come out, they're not exactly going to be people who have the same kind of attitude to graduate from college. They've been locked up with other people, and it's a survival of the fittest, of the lowest nature. You have to survive by any means necessary. When you come out, you're not going to all of a sudden radically change and adapt to an environment of freedom. So we as Americans have to realize that. Because is it true that America has locked up more people than all the other nations combined?
Yes, you'll hear about that tomorrow. Yeah. I've had Franz Kurz from Germany has been on, Mariam Jacobs. These people are from Germany, and they're from Netherlands, and even Norway is the role model of all the world. But these people will tell you it's the United States has 2.3 million, while other countries, they don't even come close, not even. But But what I was going to say is there's a gentleman, I don't know his, I can't remember his first name. I have it here, though. His last name is Hallett, H-A-L-L-E-T-T. He is 84 years old, and there's a prisoner in Massachusetts, in Norfolk Prison, who is trying to advocate for this prisoner to be released. He's 84 years old. He's disabled. He's ill, and he's trying to get him released from prison. The man has been in so long that he feels that if he comes out, he doesn't know what to do. So I've been trying to do some research to find some type of resources available to him if he can be released. And again, his name is Hallett. I don't mind saying his name because right now they're trying to figure out a way to help him. So, but there's more than that. This one individual. He's 84, disabled, but there are so many people in prison who are well over the age, can't even take care of themselves and need to be released. And this is a way to, and get rid of those people who are in for wrongful conviction. Get rid of those people who were victims before becoming offenders. Try to find some resources that can keep them incarcerated, but not in a prison itself, but in a rehabilitation or a hospital. Joe, I need to go. Please come join us tomorrow.
Sure.
12 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, sorry I called in so late.
No, that's okay. I love having you call in. Thank you so much. And we are going to end
okay,
the
Leona. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.